are tuned into the Atlanta Life Radio station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio with shows that cover topics to feed your mind, body, and soul. And now we present the Let's Talk Going Gym Free radio show with your hosts, Mark and Beth, and today's special guest, Tom Dennehy. Let's get this conversation started. So here's Mark. Mark?
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day here in the Virtual Wellness Cafe. I believe, Beth, this is, what is this, week five of the show? How are you doing today in Texas? Yeah, what's going on in Texas?
Good. No beer tonight or anything like that. But tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, right?
It is St. Patrick's Day, and it's funny. This is the week. I think you and I have discussed this before. This is the week that we need to talk about wellness a little bit in the workplace and productivity, because this is that one week of the year where the clocks move forward. I love it. You hate it. I don't know why, but that's okay, because you like darkness, and that suggests something about
maybe
your personality.
Maybe I'm a zombie. Maybe I'm a zombie or a vampire. Who knows? I don't know. But I will explain that here in a minute.
I would like you to. And this is also bracket week, March Madness. So we know that anybody that goes to an office isn't doing any work this week. So everybody's looking over in the other cubicle. Hey, where'd you put Indiana? Where's Kentucky? I think they're going, no, they're going, no, this, yeah, you. So we have that. And then mm-hmm. we have St. Patrick's Day. So that falls on a Thursday this year. So people will be hopefully not drinking too much after listening to our show tonight.
You, my friend.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, and time change.
That's what I'm saying. So like I said, I love it. You hate it. I like more daylight. Partly because I like the 7 o'clock sunset walk with Murray, and that's part of my health and wellness routine. And I kind of like that, but I know you're one of these people that goes to bed at 8:30 at night. So for you, it might be maddening. So sorry about that.
No, that's okay. But it's true. I go to bed early, and I wake up early. So that's why I prefer to have the sun set a little bit earlier and get up. You know, I love to wake up in the morning singing with the birds like Snow White when the sun is up. So, yeah, I'm completely in the opposite of you in that regard.
Do the birds whistle by your window and hum?
They do. Mm-hmm. They'll come running to me when I wake up, and like the squirrels. And so she was actually my favorite Disney character growing up. Yeah.
Really?
Huh. The connection with the animals, and, you know, I've got dark hair. She had dark hair. All the other little princesses had blonde. So just get over blondies. I'm a Snow White girl.
Oh, good. Hey, yeah. this is the week on a more serious note, because I know you were just telling me a story, and I want you to tell it here in the intro. A lot of people are sleep deprived, and we maybe get into this a little bit on the back half hour, but a lot of people are sleep deprived because of the time change, and I like to tell people that to be careful out there, because sleep deprivation, I think you can tell me a story right now about someone driving, but I hear it all the time. People are tired, and once you're tired, that's when the bad decisions can really start coming in, and the focus and all that, right?
Yeah, actually, one of the programs that I'm in charge of at work is actually sleep disorders, because we know that is such a huge wellness issue for so many employees. So I actually do have a 4 to 8 week sleep deprivation, sleep disorders program that I help people, you know, tips and things like that to actually get a good night's sleep, because over 90 million Americans suffer from some sort of sleep deprivation or insomnia symptoms every single night. But, you know, one of my clients that I help, his name is Ray, great guy. He actually was in a car accident about a month ago coming home from work because he was so sleep deprived. And, you know, I've talked to him a handful of times since the accident. His car flipped. He has over and over said how lucky he is that he's still with us. So, yeah, absolutely. It's such an important, sobering statistic, but it's, you know, reaction time, clarity, and focus is affected in everything we do, from work productivity to driving, and that comes back to sleep. So quality sleep is so important.
Yeah, it's funny. I used to be, when I was a TV reporter, I worked a shift for 6 months where I was getting up at 3:15 in the morning. And I got to tell you, I never could lock in, and I was always tired, and I felt like my metabolism slowed down. I gained a little weight. You know, you can never make up for that lost sleep. It is, and the people that I used to work with would say, I get by on 5 hours of sleep. I thought, wow, I don't know how you can do that consistently without it eventually catching up to you. And then maybe making a poor decision because of that, and you know something bad happens, like you get in a car accident or it. So we should at some point dedicate maybe a whole half hour, an hour long show to that, because it's a very underrated thing. And when you talk to a lot of men, it seems, and I don't mean to do a gender thing here, but it's a kind of a bravado thing, like, I've always gotten by on 5 hours, and it's just not smart. In my
right.
opinion, as a consultant and a wellness
right.
guy.
You know, I'm going to lighten the subject a little bit and poke fun at myself on a situation
sure.
that happened when I was so tired talking about a zombie. But before that, you're absolutely right. Sleep is involved in healing and repair of your heart and your blood vessels. And having a sleep deficiency is linked to an increased risk of heart disease, kidney disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, stroke, and even obesity. So, absolutely. When you said you put on a little weight when you were sleep deprived, I am not shocked at all. So,
well, it's a good thing I'm thin and ripped now. If the people could only see me.
Okay. You want to hear my zombie story now on that note?
No, we're going to save it for the next half hour, because I want to bring here in a second, we're going to talk to a guy who's been instrumental in one of the longer running fitness type cool institutions, the YMCA, which is, you know, obviously been doing great things for years. So put a pin in that for a second, Beth, and we're going to get to what you want to talk about in the next half hour.
I'm going to embarrass myself here. I'm putting myself out there for you, Mark.
I want to hear it in the second half hour, but until then, let's get Tom in here. This is an interview that we had with Tom yesterday. Here is that interview. And we are moving along here on our pre-St. Patrick's Day edition of the show. If you want to check in with us, you can follow us on Twitter at ALR Radio. Also, if you want to drop us an email, it's goinggymfree@gmail.com. Also, check us out online, AtlantaLifeRadio.com. You can also like us on Facebook. We love when people like us. We want to bring in our guest now, a special guest who's kind of a big deal at the YMCA, Mr. Tom Danahy. Tom, good morning. I know you're in Indiana. I should say good morning, good evening. My times are all off. Good evening to you, Tom. How is everything in Indiana? I know you lived in California for a while. I would say better weather here, better basketball there. What do you think?
I think you're right on. Yeah, Mark, yeah, good talking to you. And, yeah, we got a beautiful sunny day here today, but snow still coming. So that's Southern Indiana for you.
And the basketball tournament, right? You got March.
Basketball tournament, yeah. And Beth remembers this, Beth Sims, who worked here with us. In Indiana, with all the high school sectionals and regionals, you always anticipate it being cold, rainy, sleety until we get that over with. And we got through our sectionals. Now we're into regionals. And, with the big tournament coming on, Hoosiers are in it, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, they usually fare pretty well. Hey, let's talk about why we brought you on here. The YMCA, as far as I know, they've been around as long as I can remember. How long has the Y been around and in business and serving people?
The Y has been around longer than the light bulb has been invented.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, 168 years. George Williams in London, England, came up with the concept of the YMCA, and it was at the time to get men in particular who were moving into an industrialized London away from wayward society and to give them someplace wholesome and then create activities to keep them occupied.
Wow, I love that story. You know, Tom, I've known you since 1995, and I remember when I first met you, I thought this guy is so dedicated to the YMCA's mission. And for our audience, to let you know, working at the YMCA can be really tough. I mean, it's a 7 days a week kind of job. You deal with so many different personalities, and that in itself can make any job difficult. But, Tom, you truly are the epitome of what the YMCA stands for. And personally, I will be eternally grateful for that because you taught me so much. In fact, I can say you helped mold me, my career, my work ethics. You let me be creative, which probably wasn't always easy for you. And for that, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But I want to know, what led you to your career at the YMCA?
What led me to my career? Well, I had a degree in recreation administration and just wanted to try to make it work. But it really wasn't until after I was out of college and I realized that I was getting out of shape myself and could not run around the track very well. And it was at the time when Dr. Ken Cooper came out with aerobics and how important that was. And so there are people like that who motivated me to give it a chance. And to me, it was just like, wow, you know, what if nearly everyone participated in play and recreation and in endurance sports? What a better society we would have. And I've never gotten off of that.
Oh, wow. What a great story. Great story.
Hey, Tom, you know, the interesting thing about the why is maybe, and maybe you can clear this up for us, the perception of the why is towards kids and the youth programs. How has that, you know, changed over the recent years?
Well, very good. We've always been very big into youth. Many Ys have full facilities, swimming pools, gymnasiums, exercise rooms, wellness centers. Some have racquetball courts. We even have a climbing wall here now. So it's multidimensional. The Y, too, is very autonomous. We're run by a local volunteer board of directors. We meet monthly to go over everything from finances to marketing to talking about our mission. And ultimately, we can come up with the programs that will maximize the use of the building. But we're far more than just youth. We've always been family as well. And I think that's where we've really continued to stay. And in fact, this facility was built in 48, and it's on two levels. And so there are 16 steps going from the top level to the women's locker room. And so one of the things that we were able to do last year was do a capital campaign that allowed us to put in a family change room right on the pool deck. We do that so that seniors, and we're seeing more people with hip replacements, knee replacements, and the men's locker room is on the second level. They can't get up 16 steps. And not having a restroom and a shower close by makes it very difficult. You know, Mark, you and I go in, we'd work out, we'd be out of there in 30 minutes. A lot of these seniors are here for 2.5 hours. You know, it's pain relief for them. So the Y not only deals with the whole family, but seniors are very much a part of our program structure. So from cradle to grave is what we've always had to deal with. And that's what it needs to continue to deal with.
You know, out of everything you just said, the thing that sticks in my head, you have a climbing wall now?
Yeah, it's back where the old little racquetball court used to be, and it's called the bouldering wall. And, you know, the thing, and Beth, you know this, in recreation, it comes down to needs and interest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a climber, but kids sure like it. And so our summer day camps in there. We take our after-school programs. The physical education class from North Elementary is coming over next week. Arlene Owens will be working with them. And, yeah, kids love to climb around. There's games and activities that we can have them go through.
Wow, that's great. You know, Tom, nobody operates in a vacuum. The choices that you make as a CEO have a direct impact on projects, programs, the members that you truly care about. So as much as you want to charge ahead with a plan, it's important that you sit down and have an open and honest conversation about trends and so forth. Nowadays, there's a huge movement, a big movement towards health and wellness. How has the YMCA embraced that trend?
Well, very good. The Y now has gone beyond membership into measuring the impact of what we do with members. And in the beginning, I said there's all types and sizes of Ys. Our bigger Ys have more capacity, and in that they have more full-time staff. They're just bigger communities, more corporations to support them. And I'm just really proud of a lot of the great work we're doing. Indianapolis pioneered the diabetes prevention program, which is a program that the CDC funds. And
wow.
We know that prediabetes is an explosion ready to happen. It's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that if individuals can lose 5% of their body fat, they can, in large part, prevent getting type 2 diabetes. So the Indianapolis Ys are certainly have pioneered that. And, but you know, it's in cooperation with partnerships and collaborations with the hospital. They have to do some measurements and be able to show evidence-based that, indeed, they are healthier as a result of exercise from diabetes. That's one example. The Live Strong Cancer Support Group is big through a lot of our bigger YMCAs. And it's a program aimed just to help people in the quality of life who either have had cancer or are dealing with it now.
Yeah, very good. Oh, my gosh. I got chills. I have chills. That's awesome.
Oh, well, you probably got chills because he's going to make you climb that wall when you go back to that.
We're going to take
a picture of that and then put it on the website.
Okay.
You climbing the wall. Hey, Tom, you were talking kind of about prevention and pre-diabetes. How does the YMCA deal? You kind of touched on it a little bit, but for people that are near, that are listening to this, that, you know, there's YMCAs throughout the country. Do you guys have health fairs that you do? How would people know about some of this prevention that you're doing? And maybe talk a little bit more about how you are focusing more on prevention. And if people say, hey, you know, I saw in the paper that the YMCA is having a health fair. Talk a little bit more about how you're kind of getting out more in the community about prevention with things like health fairs.
Very good. Well, you're right. We can't do everything within our walls, and we need to get out. So we go to health fairs. We collaborate with our hospital, and there'll be four or five times. There'll be a women's health fair. There'll be different specific opportunities for us to set up the table. And it's always very interesting to me because here is the Y, and we have our display board and nice tablecloth over, and people come to us and they say, exercise. And they move on pretty quick. The irony of it is they will stop by all kinds of booths, you know, to get their blood pressure checked, to look at different medicines, orthotics, and a lot of that is what's at a health fair. And geez, Mark and Beth, through my career, I have had so many people come to me dealing with symptoms rather than the problem. And it's sad that people let themselves get out of shape for many, many years and then want a quick fix. And when it requires a steady plan of exercise, it is difficult. And there's no question, it is difficult. And that's where I think when the whys surround a lot of people, a lot of members, to give people a lot of options. When we talk about health prevention, there's no one shoe that fits the bill. Everyone is different. Everyone is different ages. Some people have injuries, limitations. And so we start with orientations to all our people and say, look, you know, this is not about a gym. This is about chronic disease prevention. And, you know, it's up to you. We can't do it for you, but we're here to help. And the main thing is getting into a routine. And it can be anything you choose. It can be walking, walking in the pool. It can be very slow type things, and we concentrate on that. And then at the same time, many WISE sponsor mini marathons, triathlons, all kinds of tournaments and play and leagues, basketball, soccer. It's an endless array of programs that we try to put out there. So we start internally, and once people say, you know, wow, look what it's done to me, word of mouth is still a very good indicator. But we realize, too, we are working at changing our membership model. We're working at trying to do more things digitally in our communications. We have TVs in our lobbies with special events, things that are coming up, things that have happened, recognition of coaches and kids who've come through programs. So there's not one bullet that we do. It's an array of marketing and talking with our board to let people know what our cause is. And it's different. You know, it's strengthening the community.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, the YMCA is truly a brand, not only in the U.S., but around the world. And I think all of our listeners probably remember the black and red triangle logo, but the YMCA recently changed their logo. Why did the YMCA decide to do that? Was it a big deal? And how did folks respond to that change?
Well, it was a big deal. And for all of us who've been in the movement a long time, it took a little bit of understanding. And so now we are the Y.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we the Y? Because everyone called us the Y. But if you go back historically, Young Men's Christian Association is what we've been for a long, long time. And you can go back further than that. Many YMCAs had residencies and hotels, and going all the way back to George Williams. There are still some in existence in Chicago and Boston, San Francisco, where, you can get a room at the YMCA. You know, the Village People coined that, so
yeah.
We know all about that. But the brand is far more, I think, than the signage and the logo on the building and on our letterhead. It's how we talk about the Y and all our messaging, whether it's phone conversations or through what we do with our participants, but letting them realize that we are a charity, and we're a charity because we subsidize a lot of health programs.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Splash program, Beth?
I do.
Yeah, a week-long program where kids can get in swim lessons during the holiday break, Monday through Friday, half-hour class, 25 kids, 5 sessions a day, 100 kids coming through, to learn aquatic safety and physical education and get off to a good start in the summer. Programs like that are subsidized, and we lose a significant amount of money when we have just a little token nominal fee for them to pay in. And so that's why we need to help from United Ways, from foundations, but mainly from our own board to set the a goal of raising the money to offset the cost of subsidized programs. Generally, about 20% of YMCA budgets are just charitable. The big one is scholarships. And through that, and we are not in a very affluent area. It's economically deprived in many ways. We're very high in childhood poverty. And so folks come to us and they say, look, you know, even though you're not all that expensive, we're only a dollar a day, $30 is what a membership is, and you got a beautiful facility. But they say, you know, can't you help us any other way? So we do. We have them fill out an application, and they have to show proof of income and how many dependents are in the family. And we have a sliding scale, and we'll say, hey, look, you know, bring the whole family in for $50 for 6 months, and that's how we do it. Last year, we scholarshiped over 300 families.
And,
That may sound like a lot for a small town, and it is, but when you start talking about the Evansvilles, the Fort Waynes, the 44 other Ys in the state, you're talking millions of dollars that the Y gives back to communities.
Yeah. You know, Tom, I was going to ask you, so you got a pretty full plate in your position, but you know, so many things that you're talking about have changed since I remember what I perceived from the Y way back when I was a kid. Do you find now that in your position, I'm sure it's a fun position, but is it challenging now with everything changing with prevention and new programs and, you know, having to you give out these scholarships like you talked about? Is this for you? Are you facing a lot of different challenges in this role that you're in now?
Well, it is. Best opening comments. You know, I have to assure that the building is safe, that it's clean, that everything works. You know, we had a time change, you know. So I'm down here Sunday morning working the time clock to make sure that the lights come on an hour ahead of time. And, you know, we some wise have a lot of property managers and a lot of janitorial staff. We're pretty lean in a lot of those areas. So bottom line is it's up to myself and board members to put in a lot of time making sure that all that equipment, beautiful treadmills, ellipticals, bikes, free weights, you know, and not to mention a 6-lane, 25-meter heated swimming pool with acid, chlorine, pH balances, pumps, air handlers. So that is certainly a challenge. But at the same time, in answer to your question, what we're trying to do, not only here at our Y, but throughout the movement of the Y, is be more intentional on what we call our data points. We do this stuff so that people get healthy, so that kids learn, grow, and thrive, so that kids in after school are supervised and have a safe place to go. You know, it's a tremendous story of what we're doing here, and I don't think we've been very good at telling it. And so we need to work on that.
You know, Tom, you mentioned kids. One of the biggest problems in our society today is obesity, and it's not just a problem with adults. More and more kids are becoming overweight. Childhood obesity is a hot topic, and we've mentioned it more than once on this show. The Y is known for youth sports, and we all know joining a team sport can help them get out, get some exercise without feeling pressure to lose weight or get in shape. How are you seeing the Y starting to turn the tables and kids and teens getting in shape?
Very good. There's a lot of Y's doing a lot of different types of programs, but I think it comes down to needs and interest. What do kids want to do? And I certainly wouldn't think that they would want to go out and run a mini marathon. But they will play basketball, and they will play soccer. And so, again, with our resources, that's what we do. I want to share with you, last night we had a board meeting. And a new board member, Jose Mejias, came. And I introduced Jose to the rest of the board members. I said, and Jose is no stranger to us, but he has coached in a number of programs. Jose grew up in Philadelphia, And his story was that he didn't have much of a father figure growing up, and but he always liked athletics. He played in sports, and he coached. He's got a 16-year-old son, and he wanted to put him in an environment that would be conducive. So Jose coached in our youth basketball program. I can't remember the exact ages. And he said, well, I had this little girl on my team. And on Valentine's Day, she wrote me a letter.
Aww.
And the letter says, on the first day of practice, I went home and cried because you were so hard.
Oh.
And, yeah, so, and then the letter went on to say how much she enjoys playing and respects this guy. And he said, you know, sometimes you just got to be there for kids, you know, and they're getting tired of getting yelled at to pick up their clothes. He actually said this, for picking up their clothes. Sometimes they just need another adult that can smile at them and say, go have fun, you know. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm privy to day in and day out.
Yeah.
But I would doubt that leaders in our community know much about. And we just, and I told the board, you know, this is what we got to tell people.
Hey, Tom, yeah. Speaking of being there for the kids, I understand that Beth at one time when she was working there officiated some basketball games for kids.
Yes.
I would like to know two things. One, do you have a picture of that somewhere? And two, how was she as an official?
Poor Tom.
Well, I got to tell you, Beth was had more drive than any program director I ever had.
Aww,
and and the problem we had, Beth, is that was a new time in this Wise history, new staff. We had come through a long struggle. You were here when we were building the new
mm-hmm.
renovation, which was
a
huge step for us. There was a staff transition. So Beth applied, and she had a beautiful resume. She can write, still can write very well. And I said, well, you know, the job encompasses a lot of programs. And, oh, yeah, you know, no problem. I can do that. And, yeah, and I remember her story saying that, you know, well, that sounds like fun, you know, getting kids moving and healthy and volunteers and parents all helping until the first game.
Yeah.
That is chaos.
Oh,
and, you know, it, and that's the way youth sports sometimes can be.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not a black and white situation. We still got grandparents out there heckling the young 15-year-old referee, and
right.
I don't like it any better than anyone else. But there's just more good stuff that happens in youth sports than there is bad stuff. And through constantly repeating our philosophy, in fact, we don't even put the scoreboard on anymore in basketball.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Scoreboard. In Indiana, can you imagine?
No, I can't, actually.
Yeah, and so what happened the first year? Some guy actually brought in his own scoreboard. Yeah, a little portable scoreboard.
That did not surprise me.
No. But they're used to it now, and now every adult knows the score, so, and most kids do too. So.
Yeah, of course.
But the other thing about your drive, Beth, yeah, you know, no sooner than you would be doing that, and you would say, well, hey, Tom, I got an idea. Let's do a dance program.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I'd say, dance program? Who can teach dance? And you'd say, oh, I can. I said, well, if you do that, how are you going to do all this other stuff?
I'll make it work.
Well, she still doesn't know the difference between a charge and a block as an official, so she's
you know
working on
I
that.
Sadly, that's true.
And Mark, you do some umpiring yourself, huh?
I do. I'm into youth baseball up through the high school level, and just like what you just said, you know, you get the grandparents and parents that heckle you because, you know, they think their kid is going to be the next Major League Baseball player, and hopefully they are, but chances are they won't be. And so, I try to have fun with it, just like what you try to preach with your officials, I'm sure. But
it's a little more open season when you're an adult. If you're 15, you shouldn't be getting heckled as an official. When you're in your mid 40s, I guess they look at you as open season on that. So, if you ever need me to come out and officiate at a YMCA game, I'm more than happy to give it a shot. I don't know how good I would be, but I know basketball.
You have
a little
opened
bit.
So many doors there, Mark.
Yeah. What sport you want? You want soccer? You want basketball? Baseball? We got them.
Hey, Tom. When the tagline for the YMCA talks about social responsibility, what is that? It's kind of a broad phrase, but what does that mean? What does that mean to you?
Very good. Yeah. We do three things: healthy lifestyles, youth development, and social responsible programs. Our social responsible programs are safety education, having a large aquatic facility here. We teach CPR the third Saturday of the month. And CPR is something that everyone should have. All the teachers, all the nurses have to have it. But more than that, all people, all our lifeguards, all our after-school, summer day camp people. So a lot of that safety education is important. Also, life-saving. We're entrusting very young people with probably the most highly responsible position in the world, watching 20 to 30 kids in a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And they need to know what to be looking for. We certainly can't have young kids who don't have pass a pretest being in deep water. So we do a number of life-saving classes, not only for the Y, but we have a city swimming pool, as most communities do. We have outlying communities that want to gear up for the summer. So we will probably teach about 6 life-saving classes. Probably about 100 students will come through those areas. Many Ys do a whole host of things. There's a new initiative, Togetherness, and Ys get together volunteers and decide on projects in the community that need to be done. Some can be street cleanup and going around and cleaning up the streets. Others can be volunteering for fun runs and those types of activities. Some Ys do the Adventures program, which is the old Indian Guides program, where parents and kids are meet at people's houses, and they set up their own activities. In San Diego, I did that. One of the activities was, to go whale watching or to go into the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was, again, bringing people together and connecting them.
Huh. Let's face it, Tom, not all gyms are created equal. I may be a little biased because I truly love the Y, what it stands for, the history behind it, the mission statement, the passion the employees have. And trust me, listeners, when you work for the Y, it is a passion. So my question is, if someone...
But let me correct you, Beth.
Yes.
We're not a gym. We're the Y.
The Y, absolutely.
True.
But my question is, if someone is looking to get into shape, why would they go to the Y as opposed to another chain of gyms?
Well, one, if they want to support community, if they believe in kids, they believe in teens and seniors. The other is I'm an ex-competitive swimmer. If you want to be in the pool, you're not going to do it in a facility that doesn't have those type of amenities. So that's one real advantage that we have. But you're right, wellness can happen anywhere. And in the summertime, I'm out jogging outside. But I got to tell you, having facilities where you can use the finest equipment and weights that put you in the right angles, that isolate the muscles, great. And you know what the winters are like, ice and snow. You're not going to catch me out there during the wintertime. So it's all those amenities. It's really the wide array of programs. As I mentioned, there's open workouts. There's sports competition. One thing that I think we've really kind of lost sight of is just play. And
Good point.
We started pickleball. And that's the largest, fastest-growing sport in the country right now. You ever hear of
pickleball?
It? Yeah.
Yeah, they play it out here in San Diego. I think they have pickleball tournaments out here.
Oh, absolutely. Arizona, a lot of retirees. It's a very easy game to play. It's like a badminton court size and a low net. And, you hit a kind of a wiffle ball over the net, but it has to go cross court. And it's just a hoot. We play with the staff on Fridays. And, it's just fun to do.
Oh, how fun.
Hey, Tom, we're running out of time. We got to wrap it up. We appreciate the time. Beth wants to know if you're picking Purdue and Indiana to get to the Final Four in your brackets. We're gonna kind of try to go with an all Indiana.
Yeah.
Kind of bracket.
Well, they're both seeded. I believe it's at 5.
Yeah.
And
they.
In fact, I think it's either Indiana. May run into Michigan State or Purdue through the bracket. I'm not sure on that. But, yeah, I'm looking for a strong showing. It's just been a joy to watch both those teams.
Yeah, Southern California, I don't think really represented in the tournament this year. So it's just one of those years for us out here. But, Tom, we appreciate the time. You're doing great work with the Y. Really fascinating insight, and we appreciate your time today. Thanks so much. I hope you had fun. Did you have fun doing this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The problem is you get me talking about wellness and something I've done all my life, and, yeah, I enjoy it. Thank you very much. Anytime I could do anything more, let me know.
Okay,
we'll so much.
Probably be asking you to come back.
Very good. Absolutely, Tom. Thanks so much, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Please share us with a friend and come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you're interested in becoming a financial sponsor or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send us an email to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com, and please make sure to give us all of your contact information and we will be in touch with you. So now we return back to our program.
We are back in the Virtual Wellness Cafe. Happy Wednesday afternoon / evening to you. We're going to talk more about Tom here in a second, but first let me run through what we need to run through. If you're going to follow us on Twitter @ALR Radio, remember you can always drop us an email too at goinggymfree@gmail.com. Listen to the show on AtlantaLifeRadio.com, and of course like us on Facebook. Beth, you go back a little ways with Tom.
I do.
Really good stuff at about the Y. Are you going to go back and climb the wall there in Washington, Indiana?
I am, and I will take pictures, or I'll have someone video it, like you are going to have someone videoing you doing Zumba class. So I'm
okay.
On.
Deal. Tom's a good guy, and it's funny. You don't realize how much the Y has to offer, because so many.
Mm-hmm.
I think the perception is that the Y is an after school program, keeps kids off the streets, and they play some sports or whatever, but you don't realize how much they're doing in the areas of elder care and fitness and prevention and things like that. So kudos to him for doing good work.
He really is. And one of the questions I wanted to ask him, but I forgot, was what was your proudest moment at the Y? I have to stop saying the YMCA. I was corrected. Absolutely. He's just an amazing man, and the Y is very lucky to have him. He taught me a lot. He really did.
Yeah, look at him, and look at where you are now. Good for you.
Exactly.
look at you now from all your training at the Y.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Were you going to surprise me with something, or can we go to the Ask Beth segment? What are we going with?
Okay. I told
you, got
you I had a little surprise. I do. And you're going to love it.
Okay.
So a couple weeks ago, you completely threw me for a loop. Completely like, hey, we're going to do this Q&A section called Ask Beth. And I heard the playback of the radio show, and I was like, Bob, 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 Bob. You made me stumble over my words, which
right.
you know, can happen okay. here and there. So I'm going to make you stumble. Are you ready?
Okay. Sure. Fire away.
Okay. This is Prescott's This or That.
Okay.
So you're just going to, I'm going to give you like two things and you're going to say which one you like better. Just a few, kill some time. Okay.
Okay.
Doctor or dentist?
I'm going to say dentist because I floss so they don't yell at me too much.
Good. Apples or oranges?
Apples. Oranges make my fingers sticky.
I know, right. You're so messy. Okay. Winter or summer?
Summer.
Yeah. Okay. Basketball or football?
College basketball, pro football. How's that for sitting on the fence? Boy, what a bad answer. What a politician answer that was. My goodness.
So who's your favorite college team and who's your favorite pro team?
Basketball or football? I don't really have a college football team because the program I went to, it went away when I was a sophomore in college, Cal State Fullerton. So I have adopted San Diego State since I live out here now. So San Diego State and then pro football would be the Chargers and then pro baseball, the Padres, not that you asked.
Because you are a baseball fan. That is your sport.
Right. That's what I like, yes.
Okay, Indiana or Purdue?
Ooh, in the tournament or just in general? I'm gonna say Purdue because you went there, so I'll jump
Woo-hoo!
On.
You have a check mark, gold star for you today. Okay,
Purdue.
More dogs or cats?
Come on, dogs. Cats just are lucky to live in their world. But I like all animals. But
yeah.
I say dogs as I'm looking over at Murray sitting on the couch staring at me. So we'll go.
Like, what's
I
up,
like,
Dad?
I like him. So I'll stick with dogs. Is that it?
Well,
is there anything else?
No. One more.
Okay.
Mountains or beaches?
Mountains, because I don't like all the sand getting in my car.
Oh yeah. Good one.
I've always said this about the beach, and then I'm going to move on to the Ask Beth segment. If the beach didn't have sand, I'd be there more. Because once it gets in the toes and everything, and I don't want people to think I'm like this OCD guy that can't peel an orange and sticky fingers and sand in his toes, because I'm not like that at all. But I like the mountains. I like the air. I like the air in both. I love the beach air, and I love the mountain clear
and
air.
And I love the hike.
Yeah, and I like to hike, too. So,
hey, you wanted
to ask
me about my sleep story. Don't forget to ask me about that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we were talking about that at the top. So, yeah, go. What do you got?
Okay, well, there was one time I used to have to open the gym at 5 a.m. So about 6 or 7 years ago, for some reason, I was really, really sleepy. I decided to take a nap at something like 4 in the afternoon. I immediately fell asleep because I was so tired, and I woke up thinking I had a full night's sleep. So when I looked at the clock, it said something like 4:45. I popped out of bed because I had to open the gym that morning. So in my head, I had 15 minutes to open the gym, which in Houston is next to impossible. So I called a girl that worked for me and lived closer to see if she could go open the gym that morning. I spent 5 minutes searching desperately for my cell phone, complaining to her the whole time about it missing. This went on and on and on until she so graciously asked, it's 5 p.m. and aren't you using your cell phone right now? And it was such an out-of-body experience. I just remember thinking, what the heck?
Yeah.
I hung up and think I went back to bed. So that's my poke
that's
fun
a lack
of myself
sleep.
Story.
And,
yeah,
and,
lack
and
of sleep.
That is an out-of-body experience. We're not going to use another word to describe you there for not knowing what time it was and not realizing you were on your cell phone. Others might call that something else. We'll call that an out-of-body experience for you. So that's a good story, though, and that kind of hits on our point about people needing to sleep. So please don't call me at 4:45 unless it is in the evening. Thank you.
Okay. I can't promise. but I will try.
Try not to. Okay. You want to go to the Ask Beth segment? I think, yeah, let's do that. Got a bunch of emails, so let's just go from the top here. Here's question one. The scale has never really been my friend. How often should I weigh in, and isn't it how I feel and look more? Isn't that more important than the number on the scale?
I tend to weigh myself probably too much because I'm a little OCD in that aspect. But, you know, the scale, is it a friend or is it an enemy? So many of us have that phobia of a scale, and it's really, it can be a source of stress and self-loathing, but it really shouldn't be. I don't think anybody should think of the scale as anything other than a compass or a tool. And use that tool when you're trying to lose weight or even gain weight, because you're using a scale to see if you're on track. So, I mean, it tells us what's going on with our bodies so we can effectively modify your exercise regimen, your eating regimen to ensure continued weight loss or gaining weight. Again, it's just a barometer, no more, no less. But there's some tips on how to use a scale effectively. You really should only weigh yourself once a week. At the same time, on the same day, every week, I mean, take Sunday, take Monday, take one day of the week, that's your day to weigh yourself. Try to wear similar clothing, and the most important thing is use the same scale. Scales are all kind of over the place. And, you know, just keep in mind that weight loss can fluctuate on a daily basis and certainly on a weekly basis because of hormones and fluid retention and the good, the bad, and the ugly that goes along with that. So.
Yeah, I know that's a good answer, and I'm not a big scale guy, but I think you saying it, using it as a compass is a good reference point. I like that. How about your take on caffeine? That's the next question. Good, mm-hmm. bad, throw it out altogether, drink more. What do you think?
Caffeine in moderation is actually a good thing, and that's because it improves cognitive function. It helps with insulin resistance, and it can speed up your metabolism. The trick is not to overindulge or overdo it, because too much caffeine can actually make us gain weight by burning out your adrenal glands and releasing stress hormones. So what I tell people is 200 to 400 milligrams a day should be your limit, and that's about the equivalent of 1 to 2 large cups of coffee, depending on how strongly it's brewed. So, and some sources of caffeine are better than others, like organic, filtered coffee, not doctored with sugar, artificial sweeteners, and cream is okay. Green tea is a better choice because it promotes fat oxidation, and it's really believed, there's so many studies out there that improves insulin sensitivity. So limit your intake of caffeinated beverages to 1 or 2 a day, and that's because caffeine is a diuretic. You should, every time you drink some caffeine, like a cup of coffee, you should drink 1 glass of water for every caffeinated drink you have. So, and your last caffeinated drink should be before noon, so it doesn't interfere with your sleep. So those are kind of that's my thoughts on caffeine.
That's good. And I tend to think that, I had a doctor once tell me that you should drink a glass of water with any other thing you drink outside of water. So people, you know, one beer, 1 glass of water, 1 glass of wine, 1 glass of water, and so on and so forth.
If you're drinking beer or wine, you're going to thank yourself the next morning for having that water as well.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Here's question 3. Been a long time since I exercised with weights, and there's no way I can do some of the exercises. I don't want to hurt myself, but I do want what I can do to be effective. What do you suggest?
Well, you're smart, so very smart. And Mark and I are proud of you for being aware of your body and understanding your limitations without giving up. Because injuring yourself can put you out, you know, for exercising or out of the game, so to say, for weeks or even months. And we don't want that at all. So the tips that I have and exercising with weights is maybe you can try to exercise with less weight. I mean, if you're trying 10 pounds and that's just too heavy, go down to 8, go down to 5. Maybe you could try doing less reps of the same exercise. You can modify an exercise like so-called girl push-ups. So do push-ups on your hands and knees instead of the regular version of a push-up. And if there are no modifications of a certain exercise and you just simply can't do that exercise, try a different exercise for the same muscle group that you can substitute for an easy exercise. Like maybe you could do wall sits instead of squats, or maybe you could jog in place instead of jumping rope. So the more you continue to try, the stronger you're going to get, and pretty soon that will be child's play for you.
Yeah, and I think if this is a person that is at the gym and they're not sure, it might not be a bad idea to you know, tap a trainer on the shoulder and just ask him a quick question, and if him or her, and see if they might have some advice on that as well. That's good though. Here's another question 4. Last week you mentioned circuit training, and I'm totally confused by the concept of it. I know there are different sets of reps for each circuit, but this is all new to me. Can you break it down to the simplest instructions?
Okay, we're going to tag team this one. We are so going to
sure.
tag team this one. But I am in love, that is a strong statement, with circuit training. And that's because circuit training is such a good way. It's an excellent way to simultaneously improve mobility, strength, and stamina. That's what I always say. Those are kind of my 3 keywords when it comes to circuit training. But a circuit training workout is composed of a few different circuits. It could be 2, it could be 6. So each of those circuits contain a combination of strength and cardio exercises that you complete one right after the other with little to no rest. You do one set of exercises for a specific number or time, and then you move on to the next one. Once you complete one set of each exercise in a circuit, you go back to the beginning of the circuit and repeat the cycle until all sets are completed and you move on to the next circuit. So, example, circuit 1 might be 3 sets of push-ups, squats, mountain climbers, lunges. You do one set of those back-to-back, push-ups, squats, lunges, mountain climbers. You go back, push-ups, squats, lunges, mountain climbers, until you do a final set, and then you move on to circuit 2. So does that make sense?
No, it does. No, it absolutely does. I don't do as much. You still do a lot of it yourself, right? Do you still do a lot of circuit training?
I do. It's just, it kind of works for me because I travel so much for my job. I can actually do circuits in my hotel room. I can do circuits on the fly in a park. And I go through like periods of time when I'm like so addicted to running, or I'll go through my biking addiction. Right now I'm kind of in that circuit training mode, so I love circuit training. I really do.
I kind of like anything that you can do where you don't have to be at the gym. So it's you know, when we talk about our show and we talk about wellness, I think it's a really good point that you bring up about doing things in your hotel room, or whether it's doing these things maybe even outdoors in a park or taking a walk. I think that there might be a misconception if you told someone, hey, you want to get in circuit training, they're going to think of things like CrossFit at a gym, and nothing against CrossFit or anything like that, but they're going to think, oh, circuit training, I got to go to a gym for that, I got to pack a bag, I've got to do all of those things, but you can easily do the circuit training without having to step foot in a gym, and I think that is really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point.
Okay, last question, although we still do have time for people to send in emails. Here's the last point. I have a huge appetite. Okay, and let me just preface this by saying I didn't write this, but I could have. No, I didn't. It's not emotional or mental hunger. I've tried every gimmick out there, including the grapefruit diet, and nothing has helped. If you have any insights into appetite control, please share them! Exclamation point.
Are you sure you didn't write this one?
I didn't write. Do you remember that Seinfeld episode where he didn't, where that one publisher hated exclamation points? I don't hate exclamation points, but I think they're a little bit overused. So we could talk about that at some point. But go ahead.
We can. We actually talk about. I will answer that in a second. But we actually talk about Seinfeld episodes.
Of course.
All the time because last week we talked about your massive head, and there's a Seinfeld episode when Elaine. They talk about her huge head. And I just remember, and big head. So any listeners out there, oh my gosh, it's so funny. But back to the question. You know, I'm going to say to this listener, stop trying to do something magical. It doesn't work. Like the grapefruit diet, again, that stuff never works and it's not healthy. It's possible that you aren't eating right, the right type of combination for your metabolic type. So that's going to leave you not feeling satisfied or hungry all the time. But some tricks of the trade, and Mark, help me out here, but
maybe
eat large quantities of lower-calorie foods that are high in fiber to help fill you up. Maybe like a big salad. In your salad, put spinach and kale and lettuce and tomatoes and eggplant and just whatever. Just have a really – that's going to help fill you up. Also,
And remember when another Seinfeld reference. Remember when Elaine eats the big salad and she calls it the big salad. You can follow. Uh-huh. You can follow that too. She's follow. That's pretty good wellness right there. The big have a big salad.
Who knew? Yeah, Mark and I have this fascination with Seinfeld, and we actually talk about it a lot. So
yeah
that's funny. I guess the second tip would be drink lots of water. Just drink, you know, pound it. If you're starving, pound a liter of water and see if that helps kill the urge a bit.
I think it does. And when I've gone on things where I wanted to lose a few pounds, that's all I did was I drank more water. Lucky for me, and we kind of touched on this with caffeine and a couple of these questions. Luckily for someone like me, I've never had that where I have to have tons of caffeine or drink, you know, Red Bull or some of those kind of energy drinks. But you're right. I mean, the water is an appetite suppressant, really. I mean, if you drink a lot of water, you're just not going to eat as much. And that's a good, even if you're going out to eat. So if you said, hey, I'm going to kind of splurge a little bit, have a glass of water or two before you go out to eat, and maybe even have another glass of water before the meal comes. You won't eat, you know, even if the portion is huge, you won't eat as much, and maybe you're taking some of it home and having it as another meal. But the more water you drink, I think the less hungry you are. I think
absolutely.
I've always followed that. So, anything else with that appetite? Anything else you want to? I know a lot of people are going to be eating this week in front of the TV. March Madness, filling out the bracket.
March Madness.
They're at the restaurants. Yeah. They got the chips and dip and the chicken wings.
There's a couple more things that I'm going to talk about. You know, with this time change that we just recently went through, sleep. Anybody who has known me knows I'm a huge proponent of keeping your hormones in check. And sleep, I mean, doctors have known for a long time that hormones are affected by sleep. But it really wasn't until recently that appetite entered the picture. So I have read so much about how leptin and ghrelin, the two hormones that regulate appetite, are both directly affected to how much sleep you get. So if you've ever experienced a sleepless night followed by a day when no matter what you ate, you know, sitting down and having a full, you know, plate of spaghetti, you never feel full, you never feel satisfied. And that's because of leptin and ghrelin. These hormones work in kind of a checks and balances system to control feelings of hunger and fullness. Ghrelin, just produced in your tummy, stimulates appetite, while leptin, produced in your fat cells, sends a signal to the brain when you're full. When sleep is restricted, leptin levels go up, and ghrelin levels go down. And I think actually Dr. Clithero tapped into this in week two. But another reason to get your at least 8 hours of sleep, lack of sleep can trigger the release of cortisol, which is a nasty stress hormone, and that's responsible for storing abdominal fat. So any way you look at it, sleep can set the stage for overeating and weight gain. So get your shut-eyes.
I agree. We're running short on time now. Sleeping, we know, is good. We covered a lot of ground today about the why and with Tom. Last thing for you, Purdue, Indiana, in your bracket. I know you're an Indiana girl. Who do you like? What do you think?
Oh, come on, Mark.
Purdue? You going with Purdue?
Yeah. Come on, my alma mater.
I'm going to fill out my bracket tonight before the games start tomorrow. Anything else you want to talk about? Are we wrapping it up? We're good for the week?
No, we're good for the week, and I'll be rooting for Purdue.
Well, good. Okay. Put your Purdue sweatshirt on, your hoodie.
As Murray is rooting for Purdue. He called me. Murray is Prescott's dog. He called me. He said, go Purdue.
There's a college, Murray State, but they're not in the tournament this year. I'm trying to get him a Murray State sweatshirt.
Okay. So, that's cute.
Okay, so that's going to do it. It's been another great week. Hope you've had a lot of fun listening. We're having a lot of fun doing this show. So have a great week. Stay healthy, stay well, take care of each other, and we will see you back here next week, everyone. Have a great week.